We welcome you once again to Words of Truth. Once a man was on trial for his life. He stood before the governor and heard his accusers condemn him. The governor knew they were prejudiced, and for hate they had accused an innocent man. He chided the man's accusers and thought to test their loyalty to their king. So he said to them concerning the condemned man, "Behold your king." This brought forth an answer, which answer forms the basis for our lesson today. Said the accusers to the governor, "We have no king but Caesar." John 19:13-15. They, then and there, rejected him as king whom they had accused. Most of you know by now who this condemned man was. It was Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of mankind, and the governor was Pilate. My subject is Christ my King. My answer today is just the opposite of their answer. I have no king but Christ. No Redeemer but my Lord. No head but the Son of the living God who died on Calvary. There is but one King, one Redeemer, one head is clearly taught in God's only revelation to man, the Bible. Since all professed followers of Christ admit and accept the Bible as a divine revelation of God, then it must follow as the night, the day, that all so-called revelations or traditions of men, which revelations and traditions contradict this accepted revelation, must be wrong and set aside. Churches of Christ abide by this revelation, and it alone, in all matters of religion. We have no church councils, no conventions, no conferences, no synods, no modern revelations, no church traditions, no earthly head to govern or to interpret for us officially the meaning of God's Word. Neither do we have such with power to force upon us laws and customs. We have, religiously speaking, no king but Christ, and he has made our laws. From them we dare not turn, lest we rebel against our only king. In 2 Kings 7:12-14, we have this promise to David, and I quote, "When thy days are fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." This was about 1042 B.C. To Christ was never promised any other kingdom than that of his father David. He will never sit, nor has he ever sat, on any throne other than that of his father David. My friends, if there were no other kingdom promised, if no prophet of God has ever foretold of God's having promised this honor to any man but Christ, then for any man to declare himself an earthly king over God's people is to usurp this authority and attribute unto himself an honor belonging only to Christ, the Son of God, the seed of David. This kingship, this rulership, was never promised to his beloved apostles. In no place in all the New Testament does it ever refer to any apostle as king over Christ's kingdom, or as having an earthly province with laws to govern, or an army to protect. Not even the Christ to whom this kingdom was promised ever claimed such. No, we have no king but Christ. And for any man to claim to be king over God's people here on earth is to exalt himself equal with Christ, the rightful heir to this throne. We therefore reject and repudiate all church councils, conventions, conferences, or earthly human heads or kings, religiously speaking, over God's people. No such is ever mentioned in this admitted revelation from God, the Bible. If none are ever mentioned in either the Old or New Testaments, then I press the question, where do we have the divine right? How may we, who do not have such, know which of these claims to follow? Good people, when we begin such practices as leaving the Bible, God's revelation, we inevitably end up in the confusion we find today in the religious world. Come, stand with us of the church of our Lord upon the truth just stated. No revelation but the Bible. No king but Christ. No head but the Son of God. No high priest but the Lord. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, and Micah 4, 1 and 2, both says, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the tops of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. There he shall teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from Mount Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Here, mountain represents government or kingdom, and house stands for the church. For the church is the house of God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. The beginning of all this was to be in the last days, and it was to start in Jerusalem. Daniel also spoke of this kingdom when he said in Daniel 2 and verse 44, "And in the days of these kings," that is, the kings of this image, especially the Roman kings, "shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and it shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Now, what kingdom is he talking about? There never was but one kingdom promised by the prophets, and that was this kingdom of 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 14. This was to be given to Christ and him only. Now, here is one thought you must not overlook in the prophecy of Daniel. He said, "It shall not be left to other people." With this understood, then gone forever is the right of any man to have himself called king, claiming to rule over the kingdom. He did not leave this kingdom, this rule, in the hands of other people. This is why churches of Christ do not have one of our number declared to be an earthly king, ruling in Christ's stead over his church. The prophet said, "It shall not be so." Hence, to do such a thing would be to us an act of treachery, an act of treason against our king. It would be to us the ascribing a demand a place of importance equal to the Lord. We have no king but Christ. Therefore, we honor him and him only. That you may see further that Christ has no representatives on earth, that he has no kind of earthly government ruled over by an earthly king or head with an earthly army, be it great or small, I give to you the conversation that took place between Christ and Pilate, the record of which is found in John 18, verses 33 through 40. Pilate, during the trial of Jesus, asked him this question, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" The Savior's final answer to him was this, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I be not delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate pressed the issue by asking him a second time, "Art thou a king then?" To this Jesus said, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came in the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." "What are you saying, Lord?" "Just this, yes, Pilate, I am a king, but my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. with earthly soldiers, armed with carnal weapons. If it were, they would fight, that I be not delivered." What was the reaction upon Pilate, the Roman representative, the governor under Caesar? This correctly understood, and there fades into oblivion every trace of the future reign of Christ on earth at any time or for any purpose. Pilate, the Roman governor, understood what millions need to see today. He knew at once that Christ's kingdom, his throne, his rule, was not in opposition to earthly governments as an earthly ruler. Rome had nothing, therefore, to fear from that standpoint. If his kingdom is not of this world, if he shall have no earthly soldiers, and yet he is to be the king over this promised kingdom about which the prophets wrote, there must follow these questions. Well, what kind of kingdom is his kingdom? How does he gain subjects to his kingdom? And where is his throne? Well, we want to continue this study next Lord's Day, if possible. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is the church. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it." How important it is that we study together what the Bible really says about the kingdom of God. My dear friends, our Lord is not coming back to establish a kingdom with an earthly ruler and an earthly head. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And by the way, he did establish his kingdom, the church. Those of us who are members of the body, the church, are members of that kingdom. My dear friend, we hope that you'll give serious consideration to becoming a Christian. No more, no less. But doing that is described for us in the Bible, the New Testament. Now, here is how to become a Christian. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God? Then if so, that belief will cause you to act. Once we look at the cross, we see the terrible aspect of sin. Jesus died to take away the sin of the world. God sent his only Son, his only begotten Son, to die on that cross, that individuals might have the forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life. Our Lord said, "Except or unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Luke 13:3-5. We must also acknowledge or confess that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. We believe with the heart, and with confession it is made unto salvation. We confess that we believe that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. And upon that confession, then, we are baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of our sins. Many want to admit this, but that doesn't take it away. We are to hear the Word of God. We are to believe it. We are to repent of our sins, acknowledge our faith in Jesus, and be buried with our Lord in baptism, arising to walk in newness of life. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. We hope that you've been encouraged by our study today, and as time permits, next Lord's Day, we'll continue this study because it's just that important. Christ is my King. We hope that you'll be with us then. Why not worship with us today at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:25 for worship, again this evening at 6 o'clock. We also meet on Wednesday evening for our Bible study together at 7 o'clock. Why not come and be with us? You'll always be an honored guest. Why not write for the free DVD entitled, "What Must I Do to Be Saved?" We'll be happy to send this to you free of charge, and here is that address: The Church of Christ, 601 Washington Street, St. Albans, West Virginia, 25177. Why not write for it today? We'll be happy to send it to you free of charge. Until next week, as once again we present words of truth, we bid you a good day.